Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
You're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WBFF 97.7. Glad you could be here. We are in 1 Kings, and we go through the Bible here at Understanding the Bible slowly and methodically and try to fill in between the lines, show you some of the most obvious meanings of things and then the hidden meanings. And God says, I have hidden things in this book, and it does my heart good for you to search them out. So don't think that, it's just an interpretation, because if it wasn't so, and it wasn't in black and white, and I will show you here. You know, I dare you to catch the first episode of Between the Lines on WVFFradio.com, and you'll either be hooked or you'll come after Jonathan and I with pitchforks and torches, and that's okay too.
Heresy.
Yes, we run fast. But like I said, follow along and you'll see. It's right in here. And follow along in the King James Version. I'm not telling you that's the only version to read, okay? You read other versions and you are following after God. I do tell you to work your way to this version because it's the most accurate English version. The only true accurate depiction of the scriptures is the original Hebrew and Greek. There is things lost. There are a lot of things lost in translation, and that's a lot of the stuff that we're trying to point out here. A lot of things were lost in translation and made softer for your ears because of the religious attitude of the time. Things were softened so that, we really don't want that truth to be totally understood, so we soften it up. Such as, this is the second time man has been on this earth. It's right here in black and white. And there are two accounts of creation. God made male and female, told them to replenish the earth, because he'd already wiped it out in the first flood, put out the sun. There's no way to argue with the word replenish. It means they were here before. Go and replenish the earth. And then sometime after the seventh day when God rested, he said, there's no man to tend my garden. That was his temple, the Garden of Eden. And after the first flood, the Bible says it had become a wilderness, all overgrown. Sidewalks weren't edged or anything. God needed a special priest. So he created Adam, made him out of the dust of the earth, and breathed the spirit of life into him and made him male and female and called their name Adam. There's a lot of things to catch in there. The wording is very, very specific, and you got to analyze it all. But so Adam and Eve fell, and we get on to the Abrahamic line. God gave a covenant to Abraham. He says, follow me with all your heart. Circumcise your children. Well, his children proved they couldn't do it, so he laid the law on them. The law is a horrible binding statute created to make them want to hate it. But they grew to love it because they really didn't follow it, just in public. You know, you've seen, you know, some of these Christians, they're so haughty on Sundays and, whatever they want on other days. And you know what? I'm not going to judge them. I know not what their father has told them. But in the Jewish society, it was a big thing to be religious. So what would you call it, John? It's something
like a contest of the holier than thou.
Yes, yes. It was like a social quest to appear to be the most holy.
Yeah, one up each other.
Yes, by the garments that you wear and the things that you do with your hand. But you know what? The Bible says you cannot make yourself holy with the things that do with your hands. Christ came to reestablish the covenant that God had given to Abraham, which was not the Ten Commandments. He said, follow me with all your heart. Circumcise your children. Christ says, follow me with all your heart and be baptized and enjoy the freedom that I give you from the law. So we are into the kings now. The nation of Israel sinned against God. They didn't wipe the nation clean when they moved in. God said, wipe them clean and you'll be cursed. They didn't do it. Disobedience. Disobedience is the only sin in this Bible. You can call it any name you want to call it, murder, theft, adultery, call it whatever you want. God said don't do it. So it amounts to disobedience to God. There are three types of sins in this Bible. There are sins against God, disobedience, sins against your neighbor, which is a disobedience against God, but not directly against God, and sins against yourself. And they come in that order. The worst one being disobedience against God. And the first commandment, thou shalt not have any gods above me. God has a hard time making a way for you when you do that one. And we see the children of Israel constantly doing that. Not just your normal everyday disobedience like you and I do. This was worshiping other gods. And be careful, because other gods come in many fashions. Fancy cars, fancy women, nice television, you know, these
telephones.
You know, if you got your nose stuck to a phone 16 hours a day, it might have more attention of your person than God does. God wants your mind and your time. But the Bible says the mind is contrary to the will of God. So how does he get it? He says, I place a spirit man in the heart. And his job is to take control of the mind and guide this abominable flesh in a path towards God. So it's all about the heart. That's the major theme of the Old Testament, is the heart. God will judge you by your heart one day, not by what you said in church, not by a roll that your name was written on, not by a certificate of baptism that you hang on the wall. He will judge you by your heart. When you get up there and say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and I accept him as my personal Lord and Savior, if the heart is not in it and the heart is not truly wanting that, it is just words and they just float out the window and they go nowhere. It's all about the heart. So we're into the kings of Israel, the nations in civil war. It's falling apart. It's problems on all sides. Judah is still under a member of David's family. Israel, the northern kingdom, is not, because of the sins of the excess of Solomon. And one thing I want you to get, two things I want you to get from the book of Kings. You look for excesses and you look for disobedience, because both of those will bring judgment in your life. Paul says all things are legal for the Christian under Christ's sacrifice, but not all things are good for the Christian. And if you're following God with all your heart, you'll know the difference. That little voice will tell you. All things in moderation. All things in moderation. Food, drink, pleasures of any kind in moderation, because if you don't, they will put the spirit man to sleep. And that's a dangerous situation to be in, when this body goes on autopilot because you have indulged in pleasures and excess in life. And I want you to watch these kings here, because Solomon started it. 1,000 wives, this bombastic palace greater than the house of God that he had just built. Enslaved tens of thousands of his countrymen to build building projects. I mean, the city of Jerusalem was like Disney World at that time. It was unbelievable. Every exotic animal in the world running around. Excess. And excess leads to the spirit man going to sleep. And that's what happened to Solomon. He went to sleep and he began importing foreign wives and worshiping other gods, worshiping the gods that they brought with them. And how many of you Christian men out there have often wanted to please a woman so bad that you set your own morality aside or your own inner voice guidance just a little bit? Oh, you know, it's not so bad. Just this one time. Yeah, excess. Okay, we're into the Kings. 1 Kings chapter 21. I want you to look for excess and disobedience. Both of those. Chapter 21. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard. Which was in Jezreel. hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Now, Ahab's the king. He's got pretty much everything that he can have. Anything he pretty much wants, he can have, within reason. Unless it belongs to someone else. Then he can buy it, maybe.
Or he can have it made.
I mean, the law says you can offer to buy it, and if they agree, they'll sell it. But he has a very, very evil wife, Jezebel. She is the high priestess of Baal, because she organized all the Baal worship.
I believe that was her title.
Yes. She had it going on. There was a major cult going on. And Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." Oh, wait, I think I skipped one.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Verse 2, chapter 21. And Ahab spake to Naboth, saying, "Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs." Now, this vineyard was so finely manicured. And Ahab would come out of his palace, walk down the street, and pass by this beautiful vineyard. And
the guy
really put his heart in this vineyard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. "Give it to me, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it." Why don't you just take the better vineyard?
Yeah. that's just close by.
I remember my brother wanting to get something from me. "This is much better than that. Look at what this will do. We'll trade." Why don't you just want to keep that?
Yeah.
"Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. So give it to me. I'll trade you a better vineyard, or I'll pay you." Naboth said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word of Naboth the Jezreelite had spoke to him. For he said, "I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers." And he laid down upon his bed and turned his face and would not eat. No, man, what a big baby.
I just imagine him kicking his feet on the bed.
I'm serious. This is the king of Israel. He has everything he could want, and he wants this vineyard, and the guy says, "I don't really want to sell it. My dad gave it to me." He pitches a fit. Mm-hmm. Goes laid down in his bed and won't even eat. He's probably sucking his thumb. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said, "Oh, Naboth, what's wrong, honey? Why is the spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread?" And he said unto her, "Because I spake to Naboth the Jezreelite, and he said he wouldn't give me the vineyard for money."
I believe that voice is accurate.
"Or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it." And he answered, "I will not give thee my vineyard." And Jezebel his wife said unto him, "Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Are you not the king? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." Wow, what a bold woman. Evil and bold. Mm-hmm. Someone whose the power goes completely to their heads. So she wrote letters to Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote the letter saying, "Proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. Throw a party and make Naboth the guest of honor and set two men, sons of Belial." We remember what that are, folks? The original SOBs. It comes right here from the Bible. Belial, the sons of Belial, that means evil men. Mm-hmm. Find two evil men before him to bear witness against him, saying, "Thou didst blaspheme God and the king." And then carry him out and stone him, that he may die. And the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had sent them unto them. Now, where's the morality in those elders?
Right.
They're scared to death. This woman, when she walks down the street, people duck into alleys. She's got some power. And it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them, they proclaimed a fast, set Naboth on high among the people. There came in two men of Belial, two evil men, and said before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Man, it was that easy to be killed back then.
By word of mouth.
On the word of two people. Mm-hmm. I mean, she knew what she was doing. The law says, not on the word of one. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. It came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. So they've killed the man. They conspired against the man and killed him to own his vineyard. Now, stuff like this doesn't pass by God too quickly. The Bible says the souls of murdered individuals stand before God and ask for judgment. Ask for revenge, because revenge is mine, saith the Lord. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, and Ahab arose up and go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. You're done, buddy. God, seeing everything that you do and what you did, you will die on the same spot that you just had this fine gentleman killed. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee and will take away the prosperity. I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall. Not only you, every male heir and every male in your bloodline will die because of what you have done. Wow. Do the children pay for the sins of the father? Sometimes, when you sin against God. And him that is shut up and left in Israel. God says, I curse those of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Ahab had no, and if you catch the last episode, Ahab had no respect for God, none whatsoever, even though he was the anointed king of Israel. And will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam. And Jeroboam was the gold standard of bad kings. Mm-hmm. The son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. And the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Very disgraceful not to be buried. But watch for this. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all the things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And what I tell you, you worship other gods, God doesn't even work with you. You break all the rest of them, he's going to work with you. Thou shalt not have no gods before me. Direct sin against God himself. Came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth. Now he goes into mourning and seeking after God. Put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. I wonder if he was, while in the sackcloth, laying on his side, sucking his thumb like he was when he couldn't get the vineyard.
Oh, yeah, because now he's got the fear of God in him.
Yes. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house." Ah! There was a little bit of mercy, just a little bit. There is your proverb right there. It don't matter what you've done or how bad you know, I see these movies where, oh, God won't listen to me. I've done too much evil.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, it doesn't hurt to try.
That's right.
Because he got just a little bit of mercy. His children still suffered for exactly what happened. Chapter 22, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. Chapter 22, And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. Came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. The king of Israel said unto his servants, "Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria." Chapter 22, Book of 1 Kings. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel, and it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel said unto his servants, "Know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. That land's ours. How come we don't own it?" And he said unto Jehoshaphat, "Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses." Yeah, buddy, let's go and let's take that land back. Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." And the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, yeah, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the hand of the king." Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides?" Oh, what prophets was he talking to?
Yeah.
Ah, have they replenished the prophets of Baal already? "That we might inquire of him." The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one prophet, Micah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him."
I mean, we could ask him, but...
I mean, yeah, I might not be living my life right, but every time he comes around, he tells me how bad I am.
Yep.
And what I'm doing wrong. I don't like the guy. I don't really want to talk to him. How many of you Christians shudder at the thought of the preacher stopping by your house? Do they still do that, Jonathan?
I don't know.
I'm sure if they do, they're very politically correct and don't spew too much. You're sinful. But I hate this guy, and I don't want to talk to him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me. All he says is, "I do bad stuff, and bad stuff is going to happen to me." You really don't. I don't go around him anymore. Don't even go by the little church that he hangs out in.
He'll know we're up to something.
Yes.
And he'll call me out on it.
Absolutely. Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." The king of Israel called an officer and said, "Hasten hither, Micah, the son of Imlah. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, set each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Shenaiah, made him horns of iron. And he said, Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until they have consumed them." He's got his own little religion there. Makes up this religious ornament of horns. Says, "Use these horns, and you'll push them right out."
Yeah, holy weapon.
Yes. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand." And the messenger that was gone to call Micah spake unto him, saying, "Behold, now the words of the prophet declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Ah, let's read that again. And the messenger that was gone to call Micah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. They're all saying the same thing to the king. Go and take that land. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. So this guy coming from the king is telling Micah, they want your opinion too, but these other guys, these 400, said, yes, king should go up there and take the land, and you need to say the same thing. Micah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that I will speak. Forget you, I will speak what God speaks to me. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. The king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore before the Lord, word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said, in this manner, and another said, on that manner. There came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. I will go and tell him a lie, Lord.
Wonder who that one was.
Yeah, I wonder. God is in charge of all good, all things, good, evil, and indifferent. God's in his throne room, and he wants Ahab to fail. He's already put judgment on him. And Ahab's asking for the truth. And a spirit steps up before God and says, I will go lie to him. And the Lord said unto him, whether with? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so.
Direct order.
You need to understand, don't get the wrong idea here. God's in charge of everything. Even misdirection sometimes. Oh, that's sinful. No. God is the king of all kings. He writes the rules. He's in charge of everything. We're going to leave it here today on that one. Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. It's good to be with you here. Catch up with us and with all the other episodes on WVFFradio.com, and we'll see you later.
Nice.
Man, that was a good spot. I hated to...
Yeah, I know. It's all good. Hey, we'll pick up there.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.